Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Amen. Are you ready to jump in? We are jumping back into our message and into our series called Everyday Battles. Everybody say Everyday Battles. Everyday Battles. I don't know about you guys, but I fight things every single day. I fight certain things every day, and I'm not talking about my wife or my kids. I fight certain things every day. We face battles on a regular basis. Some are in the physical realm, so like battling with kids to get out the door on time. Come on. School is about to start back in a couple of weeks, y'all. And those of you with kids, you're going to be grabbing them big toes and pulling them out of the bed early in the morning trying to get them to get up and go to school so they get there on time. Are you with me? You've got some people that you fight traffic to get to work. My wife drives to Calera twice a week. And that's an hour and 20-minute drive one way. And she is not very fond of the traffic on the way down there or on the way back. Because it is not, if you know anything about the Calera area or that part of the interstate right there, I feel like I am dragging something with me. I wanted to make sure I've unhooked all of my cords. But if you know anything about that area, there's a lot of wrecks around there. There's a lot of traffic in that area. There's a lot of people in that area. But fighting traffic, we fight traffic. Some of us might be locked into a wrestling match. Some of you guys right now might be locked into a wrestling match with your eyelids. And by the end of the day or the end of the message today, you're probably going to be going, fighting, wrestling to keep them open. It's okay. If you feel like you need to take a nap, you take a nap. Like my old pastor used to say, you'll get something in between the naps. Just come on. Okay? Listen, you don't bother me when you sleep. Now, when you start talking in your sleep, I'm going to ask you questions. But we fight every single day. Every day there's a battle raging. But there's also a battle raging in the spiritual realm. Come on, somebody. Anybody been in a spiritual battle lately? I know that sounds melodramatic, and all of you might not believe that that's true. But scriptures tell us that spiritual battles are something that we are going to face no matter who we are. It doesn't matter if you're children, adults, teenagers, elderly, saved, unsaved, saints, or sinners. You are going to face spiritual battles in your life. 1 Peter says it this way, be alert and of sober mind. In other words, pay attention to what's going on. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Anybody ever heard that verse? We have an enemy that wants to destroy us. Amy said it earlier. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. His job is to tear us apart. His job is to move us from where we are in our favor with God and to move us into a place of disfavor. What is great is that we have been learning over the past 5 weeks in this series that even though we face everyday battles, we don't face them alone. Come on, somebody. Are you with me today? Are you glad you don't face a battle alone? Come on. We fight alongside God that created us to win. Amen, Pastor. We fight alongside God who created us to win. We were not made to be the devil's punching bag. We were not made for him to beat on us and to make us cry and make us go, oh, woe is me. The enemy's after me. The devil's after me. Listen, we were not made for that. We fight alongside God who created us to win. His purpose for us is not to struggle or to be in pain. His purpose is found in 1 John 5:4. It says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. You know what? Is there anybody that is in the everyone category today? Everyone born of God wins. Everyone born of God overcomes. Everyone born of God is going to come out on top. Everyone born of God one day is going to be able to raise their hands and say, I am a champion for God. Come on, somebody. I'll admit I don't like what I call poor mouths.
Well, the devil's after me. My life is falling apart. I don't have enough money to do this. I don't have enough money to go to McDonald's and get me a burger.
Yeah, but you've got enough money sitting in your pocket from some of the crazy things you buy and habits that you probably need to let go of. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to start meddling if I ain't careful. Listen, you were never meant to be the enemy's punching bag. We also learned that we got to let go of the rope. The enemy is pulling us one way. The Spirit is pulling us the other. And the only way we're ever going to overcome that. See, our flesh wants us to go this way. The Spirit wants us to go this way. Sometimes we got to let go of the rope and we got to grab a hold of the Spirit of God and say, bump the flesh, bump what's over here, forget everything over here. I'm going to go with the Spirit. The fleshly side of us tries to pull us away from God. Only when we sever the connection every single day. We can't do it one day and then pick up that rope back up. Every single day we got to let go of it. That's when we have victory. And that's when we live in victory over those fleshly things. God has showed us that we have to fight for control and not let our anger and our emotions rule over our actions too. I'm doing a little review if you ain't figured it out, because this is the last day of our series. And I want you to understand it all. If you want to go back and watch these messages, go back and watch these messages. I encourage you to do that. But see, God has showed us that our emotions don't need to rule us. Last week, we heard about how we can battle with complacency. It's real easy to fall into a rut and do the same things over and over. It's easy to fall into that rut and just go through the motions of church, go through the motions of reading our Bible, go through the motions of praying. And then when we get into that rut, or a belief that we have all we need from God and we don't dig any deeper and we don't grow any further and we don't want to get close to God anymore, we think, well, I've been saved 30 years. I've been saved 50 years. I've been saved 70 years. And I know all there is to know about the Spirit. I know all there is to know. Amy hates my old man voice, by the way. I know all there is to know. And I don't need to pray that much anymore because I've spent time with God. We're close. We're like this. I understand that. But God doesn't want you like this. He wants to be inside of you. Yeah. He wants to be even closer. The Bible says that he is a friend that sits closer than a brother. He doesn't want a casual relationship. Because how many of you know, even if you've been married to somebody for 60 years, 50 years, 40 years, however long you've been married, there's still stuff that you got to learn. My wife the other day, she did not realize there's a particular actor that we were talking about. And I was having a really, really bad day. She said, well, this guy's funny, so we're going to put on this movie. And Aaron will like this. And she threw up that movie, and I'm like, and I watch it with her and all that kind of stuff. And I laugh a little bit here and there, that kind of thing. But then a couple of days later, I tell her, listen, I'm out of my funk. I'm in a better mood today. But can I tell you something? I hate that actor. He is not funny to me. He gets on my nerves. And he's annoying. We've been married now going on 30 years. And she never knew that about me. There's still things, even though you've walked with God for 30 years, that God may look at you and say, hey, you know this little habit that you've got in your life? I hate that. You know this little area of your life that you've never cleaned up? I've got some mops and some brooms and some dustpans. Can we clean this up a little bit? Because God wants us to grow closer to Him. If you're with me, say, I am. See, only intimacy with God is going to conquer that complacency in our lives. The reason Amy and I still get to know each other and still grow with each other is because we are intimate with one another. We speak with one another. We talk with one another. We spend time with one another. And we try to know each other better. The same way with you and your wife or your husband. It's the same way with God. Now, to close out this series, I want to share with you something that I have learned to say a lot in my life. I've learned to say this phrase a lot in my life, and I've been walking with God. It's a phrase that I've said, written, sang, prayed, sometimes even cried about. I said it when when I was standing on the mountaintop, and God had seen me through a major struggle, and I had victory. I also said it when I was in the middle of a valley where my life was falling apart and things were just tearing apart and tearing me apart. I've said it when my kids were going through struggles in their own lives and in their own hearts. And I've said it when I've had plenty. I've said it when I've had very little and I've had few. I've said it when I knew exactly where God wanted me to go, but I've also said it when I had no idea where God wanted me to go. And it's found in, well, it's not, the phrase is not found, but the concept is found in Ephesians chapter 6. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read you this text. Verses 10 through 13. It says this. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can look at it on the screen. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Let's pray. Father God, let my words be few and your words be powerful. And Lord, let us stand firm today. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Okay. The phrase that I've been talking about is, I'm still standing. When I'm standing on that mountaintop, I'm still standing, God. When I'm in the middle of the valley and I feel like my world is falling apart, I'm still standing, though. I'm not laying down in the valley. I'm still standing. Listen, I may be standing in the midst of dry bones, but I'm still standing. I may be standing in the midst of an army that seems like it's been followed, that it has been defeated, but I'm still standing. I'm not laying down and taking it. I'm not laying down and saying I give up. I'm still standing. Somebody say, I'm still standing. Come on. Are you with me today? I'm getting a little excited. Y'all better hang on. I'm still standing. I read this verse and I couldn't help but think back to the phrase, that phrase that had been part of me, that's still standing for the past 20 years. I'm still standing. After the battles I've been in, I'm still standing. After all the victories that I've celebrated, I'm still standing. After all the failures that I've mourned, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. I'm moving forward. Come on, somebody. Listen, it's not because I'm stronger than anybody else in this room or because I have something special that no one else has. I am nobody special. My name is Aaron Argo. I came into this world the same way everybody else in this room did. I put my pants on one leg at a time. Sometimes I mess up and I got to do it twice. Okay, I make mistakes and I have problems. I have quirks and I have things that I do that I probably should not do, and God deals with me on them. But at the same time, I still have a ability to stand, because I don't stand in my own strength. I don't stand in my own power. I don't stand on what I do. I don't stand on who I am. I stand on who He is. That's why I'm still standing. Give God praise today. I almost need me a B3 organ back here today. Come on, y'all. Listen, it's not because I'm stronger than anybody else. It's not because I'm special. When it comes to spiritual matters, the same God that I serve is the same Savior that I call Lord and King of my life is the same one that's available to every single person in this room. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your pain. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your creed, your successes or your failures. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Every one of us stand on the same place. And we have the same ability to call on the same God. In this passage, Paul shares with the Ephesians and us a powerful truth. If we take Paul's advice here and prepare for the battles ahead, our enemy doesn't stand a chance. How many of you are ready to wag a finger in your enemy's face and say, I'm still standing today? Listen, you tried to take me out with cancer, but I'm still standing. You tried to split up my marriage, but I'm still standing. You tried to pull me away from God, but I'm still standing. You tried to kill me with drugs when I was younger, but I'm still standing. You tried to get my grandbabies, but I'm still standing and I'm still praying. You tried to take away my life, but I'm still standing. You tried to take away my dreams, but I'm still standing. You need to listen. Come on, somebody. It's time that we get fired up and we sit there and look at the devil and say, I don't care what you're coming against me with. I'm still standing today. Listen, I'm wanting to get y'all so excited y'all are jumping over pews today. If I have to, I'll go find a pew and bring it in here. Paul shares how at the end of every battle that we face and every attack of the enemy, we can have strength to look our enemy in the face and say, I'm still standing. The first thing he shares with us is that we need God's strength to stand. We need his strength to stand. There are some people that just refuse to let you help them, right? Wives, you better not point at your husbands right now. Because I know we're bad about it. It doesn't matter how big of a job it is or how heavy the box is or how detailed the situation is, or they have to take care of it themselves. Now, I'll be okay. I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. It's okay. I'm bad about that because I hate asking people for help because I hate inconveniencing people. But at the same time, there are some times where I need help. I don't know what I'm doing, y'all. There's a few times I was working on my boat at the house. I'm trying to sell, by the way, to get rid of. I was working on it and I did something stupid. I drilled a hole through my own boat, y'all. You know, if I just asked, I saw some of y'all go, oh my Lord, and this guy's our pastor. Listen. I made mistakes. I've done stupid things before. But if I had asked somebody for help, it would have helped me out in that situation. I had a situation where I was clearing a stage. I was a music pastor. And I was clearing a stage. There was a keyboard that stood right here that I stood behind. And I would play and I would sing and all that kind of stuff. But there was a wedding that was going to go on. And they wanted the entire stage cleared so that they could set up flowers and arches and all this other kind of stuff. And I'm going, okay. And it takes me about 2 to 3 hours. And I told everybody, no, I don't want help because it is technical. It's got a lot of equipment up there. And I want to make sure if anybody messes it up, I'm the one that messes it up. I should have let somebody help me because this keyboard was longer than normal keyboards. It was a full 88 key keyboard. And it is a long keyboard. And I normally would just take that thing, throw it up on my shoulder, and I would walk down. And we had steps sort of like this. And y'all know me and steps don't get along sometimes. I threw that thing up on my shoulder when I should have asked somebody for help. And as I stepped off of that first step, I missed. And you got to think, I've got a 50, 60 pound keyboard on my shoulder. And when I came down, my ankle turned. And my foot went sideways. And I'm talking about the ankle part of my foot hit the ground while my foot was sideways. And I crumpled. And you... You could hear me scream, ah! Because about 30 seconds later, our secretary, Delana, comes in. And she goes, Aaron, Pastor Aaron, I'm laying on the floor with a keyboard that has bounced on top of me now. And I go, yeah. Where are you at? Did I hear you yell? And I went, yeah. Jay Sasser, our worship leader, his dad came in there. He was on staff with me. He came in, saw me laying on the ground, got the keyboard off of me. I'm talking about picked me up like a baby. Because you got to think, Mark is about 6'4", and he weighs about 300 pounds. I mean, he's a big old boy. He picked me up, slung me over on his arms like a sack of taters, and carried me into the office. And he said, why didn't you call me to help? And I said, because I'm stupid. Sometimes we need help, y'all. We need strength from somebody who's a little stronger than us. All it would have taken was me to call Mark and say, hey, will you come and help me carry this keyboard off, and him be on one side, me be on the other side, and I would have been fine. My foot ended up swelling up as big as a football. I couldn't walk on it for about 2 months because it was a severe, severe sprain. But it was horrible. All because I was too proud to ask for help. See, Paul had just finished going over all these spiritual instructions to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 6. He had been teaching and discipling them in a bunch of different areas earlier in this letter. The standards for believers individually, the standards for Christian community or the church, and giving them instructions on how to act as a church. Even the standards in the Christian home between parents and the kids. He said, parents, don't sit there and cause your kids to stumble. Kids, don't aggravate your parents. Kids, that's a good advice right there. Y'all need to pay attention to that. And he would tell them how to raise their kids right. And then that word, there's a word that comes up at the very beginning of that of our text, a word that comes up, it says finally. It means something is different. It means something different, a little different when you say it than when I'm saying it in my message. When I say finally, I'm going to be done, and everybody else is going, yes, finally. But this is different. He's looking at it and he's saying, finally. What he means is wrapping everything up with a nice bow on top. Here is how to accomplish all of these disciplines I'm teaching you about. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong. That word, that phrase, be strong, it also means be strengthened. And if you put that in there, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's an action verb. It's basically saying, don't stay where you are. Don't be the same as you are right now. If you want to survive, if you want to be standing at the end of your battle, at the end of your fight, be strong and be strengthened on a daily basis by going to God and saying, hey, I need you to strengthen me today. You cannot survive today on a blessing you received yesterday. You cannot survive today on something you learned just yesterday. You need fresh anointing and fresh wisdom every single day. I've heard pastors say this plenty of times. Listen, some of us, we come in on Sunday mornings and we get fed, and the pastor feeds us on Sunday mornings, and we get that word of God, and we're praising God for it, and we're happy about it. But then we leave and we don't open our Bible again, and we don't spend time with God again until Wednesday night. And then we come for Bible study and we're with God and we get encouraged, and then we get done with Wednesday night, and we go home and we don't open the Bible, don't spend time with God, don't spend time with God's people for another Thursday or Friday and a Saturday. And then we come back on Sunday and we wonder why we're struggling on those off days. Listen, you don't go home to, most of us is going to go out to eat, or we're going to eat something after we get done here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My stomach's already growling. But the thing is, we're going to get something to eat. But I guarantee you, about 5, 6, 7 o'clock tonight, you're going, I'm a little hungry. And you're going to get you another meal. Why? Because your body needs it to survive. You're not going to wait until Wednesday night to eat again. But we treat our spiritual body that way. We need to go to God every single day and say, God, I need your strength today. I need your strength in this situation. I need your strength in this area. See, he takes it a little further, though. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. If we try to battle the enemy in our own strength and in our own ways, we are doomed to fail. If you try to do it just your way, listen, we want to serve God, but we want it our way. This ain't Burger King, y'all. You don't get it your way. You can't special order your Christian life. I want the blessing, and I want the financial favor, and I want the anointing of God, but I don't want to give up this area of my life. We treat it like a buffet. I like this part of the message where it says that I am the head and not the tail, and that I'm going to be blessed among the nations. But I don't like the part where it says I must deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. That means that I can't do what I want to do. I like this. Let's keep this and let's take this out. Listen, We have to rely on His strength, and we have to accept everything in His word. If we try to battle it in our way, we're going to be doomed to fail. Paul is telling the Ephesian people, hey, don't let your relationship with God stay where it is. Do something about it. Be strengthened and grow closer to Him. Are you with me? Anybody want to grow closer to God? Now, why does he stress this? Because we cannot overcome our enemy in our own strength. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we, as human beings, are strong enough to overcome anything by ourselves. I'll admit it. There's certain things in my life I cannot overcome them without His help. I cannot overcome these areas of my life without His strength and without His guidance. Whenever the Bible speaks of power to overcome and to conquer, it always involves a power that is greater than us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Now, it'd be great if he just stopped right there, because then we can go around, man, I am awesome. I can do everything that I can. But it doesn't do that. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What did Paul just tell us to do? Be strengthened. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my what? My strength. Our strength does not come from here. It comes from there. Our strength does not come from who we are. It comes from who he is. The Lord is, Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Matthew 19:26, I don't think I have this one on my screen. But Matthew 19:26 says, is Jesus talking about salvation. Your salvation is not through your strength. This isn't the verse I was talking about, but there is a verse that says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not this not from yourselves, and not from works, so that no man can boast. It is not you that gets you saved. It is the power of God and the mercy of God. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is the time where he's talking about it is harder for a man who with great riches to enter the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We can't do it on ourselves. We can't do it in ourselves. Are you with me? Turn to the person next to you and say, I can't do it. We've got to have him. We've got to have him. Whatever the battle you face today, stop putting on a brave face and trying to do it in your own strength. Some of you have been fighting the exact same battle for the past 20, 30 years. You've been fighting and fighting. I'm trying to let go of it, Pastor Aaron, but I can't. I try to get rid of it in my life, but I can't. I try to correct this area of my life, but I can't. I try to be better at this part of my life, but I can't. That's because you're trying to do it your way. You're trying to do it in your strength. We can't do it in our strength. We've got to do it in his. Stop putting on that brave face. See, God is greater and stronger than you are. He has strength that you cannot even fathom. The reservoirs of his might are deeper than the deepest oceans and wider than the widest seas. Where our strength fails and where we falter, he has barely begun to show his greatness and his might. If we want to be found still standing after our battles, we have to not stand in our own strength, but we have to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. If you understand me, say, I do. The next thing that he tells us, we need his armor to stand. Everybody say his armor. Some of you may be going, well, isn't that the same thing? No, it's a different thing. Because the Bible, see, armor is meant to protect. Armor is meant to protect. I love medieval times, and I love movies about knights, and I love the armor that's involved in all these things. See, armor is meant to protect. What I can relate to it is a catcher in baseball. I was a catcher when I played baseball. I know Bentley's a catcher over here. He plays multiple positions in baseball. But I know I loved catching. But the thing is, there was a lot of gear where you wear when you catch, right? You got the shin guards. You've got the chest protector. You've got the helmet. You've got some of them have elbow guards. Some of them have shoulder guards. Some of them have all kinds of others. There's other things that I ain't going to get into that you got to wear as a guy. Come on, now. And I made sure that if we didn't have one, they wouldn't let us catch. Why? Because it was meant to protect us. It's meant to cover all of the vulnerable parts of our body that could get permanent damage by a ball hitting it or by something hitting it. What if that catcher only decided to wear part of their gear? I'm just going to wear the chest protector today. I'm not going to wear the mask. I'm not going to wear the shin guards. I'm not going to wear, or you know what? I'm going to wear the mask, but I won't wear the skull cap that goes with it. I'm just going to put the straps on. I'm not going to wear the chest protector today. I don't like my shins getting hit, but I'm okay with my chest. What if he would get hurt, right? I love the fact in Ephesians 6:11 it says, "Put on the whole armor of God." 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In the physical, armor is meant to cover every vital and vulnerable part of the body. If a soldier left their head, their neck, or even their feet exposed, it could be the difference between life and death for them. Victory or defeat. Paul is stressing to the Ephesian people that they cannot choose which parts of God's armor to put on. But we as Christians believe we can. This breastplate of righteousness is uncomfortable. To be righteous every single day, all day. There's some days I don't want to be righteous. There's some days I want to be a little mean. There's some days I want to get on people's case. The feet shod with the readiness of God. You know what? It's not in my nature to witness to people. It's not in my nature to be a witness. And I don't really want to get busy doing stuff. That's not my personality, Pastor Aaron. God didn't ask you if you wanted to wear the armor. He said, put it on. You know, this helmet is a little tight and constricting, this helmet of salvation. Because it may protect my head, but it also keeps it from breathing and keeps me from being able to do the things that I want to do. It's uncomfortable some days. Listen. God has provided you with something to cover your weakest and most vulnerable areas of your life. It isn't sheer willpower that overcomes the enemy, but it's the strength and protection of God in our lives. Again, Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. When it says put on the armor, what it's saying is be clothed in what God provides for you. It's like putting on that shirt. Putting on that jacket, putting on those pants, putting on those things. Everything on a Roman guard's soldier or a soldier's uniform back then had a purpose. Even the leather strips that hung down their sides were meant to protect their hips. Because when they came with a sword and tried to hit those leather strips, that leather would bend and it would turn that sword and it would skate off of it sometimes. It was meant to protect them. It may have looked like it wasn't worth anything. It may have looked like it was something small. But sometimes the smallest things that we leave off of our armor are the things that leave us vulnerable to the enemy. Are you with me? When it says that, put on, let God cover your weaknesses with his strength. That is when the enemy's attacks fail against us and we will still be standing. Are you with me? The last thing that he makes sure that we understand is that the enemy's attacks are going to come. You guys may be sitting there and you may be going, well, Pastor Aaron, I understand that, but I mean, I wanted to hear about how I'm the victor and not the victim. I wanted to hear how I can stand there with my arms raised up. Yeah, you got to stand there with your arms raised up, but sometimes the victory, well, not sometimes, every time, the victory is only going to come after a battle. The enemy's attacks are going to come against you. And let me say this. If you are not getting attacked by the enemy, that means that you're not a threat to him. My life's going great, Pastor Aaron. I don't have any kind of issues with my life. I don't have anything that I've got to get rid of in my life. I don't have any kind of problems in my life. I don't have any struggles that I have. Then that means that you're, you know, they always say that if you're not getting bumped as you're trying to walk towards God, it means you're walking the wrong way. Because you're walking with everybody else. The enemy's attacks are going to come against you. Just remember, they don't come like we expect. It'd be much easier if we could physically fight the enemy. If we could throw hands. I'd love that. That'd be a whole lot easier. Because the spiritual realm is hard, tough to fight in. Physical realm, we can dot somebody's eye in a heartbeat. If we could see them, if we could touch our enemy, if we could feel our enemy, see, that would be much easier. But this is the mistake that so many Christians make. We think that the government, the officials, the armies, the activists, and any number of people that come against us, that they're our enemy. They're not our enemy. I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on politically. I don't care what side of the issue you sit on. Those people are not your enemy. The enemy is in the spiritual realm that has them deceived. We shouldn't look at them and get angry because they don't believe what we believe. We should look at them and our hearts should break. We should get back to brokenness. But the enemy will try to make us mad. Paul reminds us who the real enemy is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our battle is not fought on a physical on a physical plane. Whether they are personal battles with our own sins and our own weaknesses or battles that we face the church as a whole, our enemy is unseen and works in unseen places. Are you with me? And if our enemy is in unseen places and works in unseen places, we have to fight our enemy in unseen ways. We have to fight our enemy in the unseen place of prayer and righteousness, in the unseen place of grace and mercy, in the unseen place of love and forgiveness. We have to prepare for the battle in the unseen ways before those battles arrive if we're ever going to be found still standing. If you understand me, say, I do. Will you stand with me this morning? As I'm closing, I want you to remember that your battle is not against flesh and blood. Again, some of you are battling human beings thinking that you're fighting the enemy. And you're holding it against those human beings, what the enemy is telling you. And the lies that the enemy is putting in your head. It is in the spirit realm that we must be prepared for a spiritual battle. It is through God and our connection with Him that we are made strong. If you feel weak today, if you feel broken today, if you feel like you cannot stand, then you're relying on your own strength. It's time to rely on His. It is preparing for everyday battles by covering our weaknesses with his strength that the enemy's plans are defeated. Two scriptures and then I'm closing. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. And you know what? I didn't type it on here, so I'm going to look it up real quick. Or is it on there, guys? Yes, it is. But the Lord is faithful. That right there should send you a shout right there. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Another version says he will strengthen you and guard you. Our strength comes from him. In the last verse, Paul returns to the armor and its importance. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand firm. There's something that we learn from that word stand. Everybody say stand. There's something we learn from that word stand. That word stand lets us know we will be attacked because something's going to come against us. But that word stand also tells us don't be afraid, because when it comes against you, you don't stand on your own. You stand with someone. And that word stand also says no retreat is ever expected. There's an old movie. It's dumb as dirt. But there's a phrase in it that says never retreat, never surrender. I love that phrase because that should be our attitude when it comes to our spiritual walk with God. I'm not going to retreat from the enemy because I'm already made to win. I have strength in him that no one knows anything about. Are you with me? At the end of the battle, if we clothe ourselves in him, we will be found still standing.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.